Hi, and welcome back to the Chris Ward Fitness Podcast. I've got a guest on with me today. I've actually got Kayla with me today. Say hi.
Hello.
So I've named this podcast 100-pound weight loss, eating disorders, and how to accept the new you. So I wanted to get Kayla on the podcast for one big, big reason. She, in a past life, she's experienced some eating disorders and very hard times in terms of training. So I thought she'd be pretty much perfect for it. So, what to expect today? We're going to talk about both ends of an eating disorder. So we're going to talk through anorexia and being overweight. And we're going to pretty much describe how to deal with changes, whether that's physiological or mental changes, even if it's in relationships and things like that. So, thanks for listening to the podcast so far. We're going to get into it. Cool, so Kayla, your journey. I feel weird calling you Kayla, by the way. I know we're calling you Kay. It feels weird. You're not formal. So, I know. So, your journey, and again, give the listeners as much as you feel comfortable, because this, again, whether you think it is or isn't, but it can be quite a touchy subject.
Yeah. To be honest, I think a lot of people could probably relate to this, in that when I was younger, you know, when you're in school and you're trying to figure out who you are, I had the joy of someone calling me fat.
Wow.
Which, you know, at the time you think, oh, you're young, people don't understand it and stuff like that. But
yeah,
deep down, you know, it gets to you. And I looked at myself in the mirror, I went home, looked at myself in the mirror, and I was like, God, am I fat? And at the time it was all in the media. Size zero was the thing to be.
Yeah, the perfect size.
Yeah, it was the perfect thing to be. It was what everyone should aspire to be if they wanted fame and success. And, you know, it was just plastered everywhere. You seen it on the catwalks and everything.
So how long ago was this? Like, was this when you were in high school? Or
yeah, high school. So, what, you 12? 11, 12?
12 years ago?
No, you are 11 or
12. Oh, yeah.
So, like, over 15 years ago.
Yeah.
Basically, I just I developed a bit of an eating disorder well, not a bit, it went fully blown, actually. But I was really intelligent about the way I did it. So what I used to do was, I used to go to my nan's before school, because my mum and dad worked quite weird hours, both working for themselves. So I used to get taken to my nan's of a morning. I used to go to my nan's for my dinner, and I'd go to my nan's after school and then get picked up when my mum or dad finished work. So some days I would have breakfast, some days I wouldn't. The days that I didn't, I would say to my mum, oh, I'll have breakfast in my nan's. And then I'd say to my nan, oh, I have breakfast at home.
So is this where it's sort of the...
So it's playing people off against each other. So they thought, oh, she's had something to eat. She's all right. She can go to school. So I'd go to school, and then you had the option to either stay in or go out for your dinner. And I used to go out, because my nan didn't live too far from school. And she'd have my dinner ready for me, and I'd put half of it in the bin. So I just started sitting in the kitchen, eating on my own. And I'd pick, this sounds vile, I'd pick some stuff up out the bin and put half the food in the bin, and then put the rest of the rubbish on top so that she couldn't see.
Wow, yeah.
And she'd think I'd eaten, you know, the full meal, whatever it was that she'd cook. And then for tea, I'd finish school, wouldn't have any, like, snacks or anything after school. I'd say, oh, it's all right, I'm not hungry, I'll wait till I have my tea. So then I'd get picked up, and I'd say to whoever picked me up, I've had tea in my nan's. And then I'd say to my nan, oh, I'll have tea when I get home. So it was the exact same, you know, the exact same strategy. And the weight started dropping off. And at first, like, people didn't really notice, in terms of, like, they just thought, you know, getting involved in PE and sport in school, I used to run as well, that it was just me getting healthier. Turns out it was the complete opposite. So detrimental to your health.
Self-sabotage in a way, but again, it's where the mind stems from, isn't it?
Yeah, so everyone kind of thought, you know, just getting in shape, starting to do athletics in school and whatnot. But little did I know, when my family noticed that I was starting to lose a lot more weight, I ended up really gaunt. I've still got my school photos, I'll have to show you one day.
Yeah, I haven't seen them.
I was really, really gaunt. And if you look at the picture from like when I first started to when I was at that point, it's actually quite scary.
Looked like malnourished. And
yeah, wow. Like my eyes were dead drawn and I had really dark circles under my eyes. I was dead pale. But at the same time, you're going through adolescence as well. So it's an important time to make sure you've got nutrients in your body to fuel, obviously, you know, the big developments that are going on in your body, especially for a female.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so little did I know, they actually caught me out. And my nan was writing down what I was eating in hers, and my mum and dad were writing what I was eating at home.
Wow.
And basically, I got picked up from my nan's one day after school, and my mum went, what did you have for your tea? And I was like, oh, I had this, this, and this. And my dad went, was it nice? Like, yeah, it was nice. And then they just basically called me out and said, we know you've lied. And then I admitted everything. They helped
me. That must have been quite hard, though.
Yeah, yeah. And I think now the more, obviously, the older that I've gotten as well, I think I realise a lot of other people have probably gone through something very similar as well. Luckily enough, didn't end up in hospital with it. I was just gravely thin. I went back into like clothes that were a lot smaller for my age.
Yeah.
I had to wear belts and everything was swimming on me. But yeah, my family helped me get over it. I remember they made me eat when I got home and I was sobbing. I was sobbing into the food because I didn't want to eat it.
Wow.
Because obviously I was scared of being called fat again.
Like that pretty unhealthy relationship towards food and the mindset as well.
Yes.
But funny enough, it's like that happened as well because you went into fitness back then, was you?
No, well, I started running. I used to run for the school, so we used to compete in like the local athletics tournaments and stuff. So it wasn't that I wasn't into fitness; it was just that I did it because, well, everybody had to do PE.
Yeah, it's the pressure as well, isn't it, from the media? And
yeah,
it's mad to say, like, especially these days, because again, we've witnessed like an eating disorder which has happened outside the fitness industry, and it's very common today. It's we both know a few people with eating disorders within the fitness industry, and it's very common. And until you realise and take a little bit of closer look, you can't half realise that people are going through it as well. But yeah, you're saying about getting caught out.
Yeah.
How did that? Bloody hell.
They just cottoned on to the fact that I was losing a bit more weight than what you would logically associate with, you know, increasing my exercise, with doing PE and staying behind for, you know, like after school athletics and stuff like that. And obviously they just cottoned on. Parents are a lot more intelligent than you realise. And they basically just called me out. And at that point, obviously, I knew I couldn't lie because it was quite funny. My granddad is a massive better on the horses, and he used to get like hundreds of betting slips. And my nan had written all of what I'd eaten on betting slips, and my mum just had hold of them all. So I was like, oh, shit, I can't lie now.
Yeah.
So it's one of them. There's no point in lying because they know. That was from a really young age.
What do you think would have happened if they didn't either cotton on, or if they just turned a blind eye to it? What do you think would have happened?
I'd have ended up in hospital.
Do you think?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, no two ways about it. And I know of a few people whose eating disorders have taken control of them that much that they have ended up in hospital. And it's a scary thought that I would have carried on doing it because I thought, you know, size zero, it's the way forward. I've been called fat. What's the furthest away from fat is size zero.
So you want to
get there, and you'll do absolutely anything that you can to get there. And because that disorder and your mind just takes over any logical thoughts, you'll just keep going.
Yeah,
and
anything it takes, really.
Yeah, I think the fact I did get caught out,
it was a blessing.
It was a blessing in disguise, really, as much as at the time. Obviously, I was devastated because I wanted to do that, and, you know, being called fat was the catalyst for that, really.
Wow.
So yeah, it was from a really young age, and you know, me family helped me get through it. Like I said, I didn't end up in hospital.
Yeah.
But my family helped me get over that, and eventually, I wouldn't say I recovered. It was put to the back of my mind.
Yeah.
You know, went through the rest of high school, went through college, university, etc. Not massively overweight, not massively underweight, I'd say.
Just a steady...
About right, yeah. Yeah,
just at an average weight for a teenage girl, really.
Yeah, I wasn't into fitness at all after I left. After I left high school, yeah, I wasn't into fitness at all. I had a horse, so I was horse riding, but that was largely it. And at the time, I wouldn't have said that was fitness, although now, if you asked me to get on a horse, I think I'd probably cry.
It's a lot for your pelvic floor and core, isn't it, as well?
Your legs, you know, it's so hard, but at the time, you wouldn't have thought that that'd be exercise.
Yeah, wow.
So that was through college. I had a horse. I also started working when I was in college as well. And, you know, then on into university, was working through university. And then it was after I left university that I just started putting weight on. I worked for a particular fast food chain. And yeah. you could eat their food on your break. And naturally, I was a manager when I left uni. Exactly.
That's dangerous.
Exactly. Yeah. I was a manager when I left uni, so I was working mad shifts. And, you know, if you're on a night shift or you're in at 4 a.m. or you've done a couple of heavy shifts beforehand, and, you know, you're even if you're on, like, a mid or something like that, you just couldn't be bothered cooking your own food and taking it in.
And it's just like, what's on the menu sort of thing.
Yeah, and if, you know, you were on a mid and you finished, say, 7, 8 o'clock, that was if you actually got out on time, you'd just end up buying something because, you know, you were hungry and you couldn't be bothered cooking when you got home. So it just started from there. Started gaining weight. And then I left that company and joined another company. And again, it was really hard work, you know, 13, 14 hour days on a good day, not getting a break on my feet all day. So I was just going to the shop and buying, God, I'd buy like 2 pastries for breakfast. I'd have like 2 pasties from the Palm Bakery for my dinner in between. So like I wasn't sitting down and eating the meal and being thoughtful about what I was eating.
Yeah.
I'd pick it up, have a bite, put it down. Pick it up, have a bite, put it down.
So how was your lifestyle in this point? Like, obviously it was the food as well, but what about the other factors like sleep? How was your...
Horrific.
Yeah.
Because I was that busy, like, I'd have to be in work for 7 o'clock in the morning, so I'd be up at 4 or 5. Yeah. It was in town, so, you know, that's a decent drive, parking up, walking to the shop, to start at 7, sometimes earlier, if needs be, working through till the shop shut, which was 6, but then you would be lucky if you got out for 7:30.
Wow.
If it was, you know, a stock take night, you'd be there until, like, 2 a.m, but then you'd still be in at 7 o'clock the next day. It was a really tough job, physically and mentally, and I literally just ate whatever I could. I'd literally nail a full bag of Sensation Crisps throughout the day.
Chili or the...
Balsamic
onion. Vinegar.
No, balsamic vinegar. Balsamic onion. Balsamic vinegar and onion.
What about the red onion? Is it the red onion chutney ones?
Yeah, I love them. They're my favourite now. But yeah, literally, I was just eating. Or I'd get a bag of squashies. Do you know the little drumstick squashies?
Oh, the squashies where I was in Mexico.
Yeah.
Something.
I'd get a bag of them, but I'd just eat. I'd literally spend about a tenner on food a day. And I'd literally just eat that throughout the day.
It's crazy because you don't have any concept of calories or
I didn't.
It's just like, if you're hungry, it's anything goes. And that anything can be like 500, you know, 1,000, and you can still be hungry.
Yeah, and I think it's even true, like, fast forwarding a bit, it's even true now if, you know, if people weren't in the fitness industry or weren't conscious of how they look, feel, their weight or anything like that, then people don't pay attention to calories.
Yeah.
You wouldn't look at a bar of chocolate and think, oh, you know, there could be around 200 calories in that. You just eat it as a bar of chocolate.
Yeah,
you don't associate a number with food.
No, you don't. It's like even when I used to be a big chunky kid and I'd come home from school, I'd go to I'd go to the shop and buy.
Used to go to that little place by the bridge. It was like a caravan.
Oh my god!
What was it called?
It was literally a van. It sold like literally sweets, crisps, fizzy drinks, even sold DVDs.
It was so cool.
Yeah, it was so illegal. But every day after school, I'd even go there and spend like five on sweets and things like that. But even in high school, it was going home from high school, going to Home and Bargain, and just spending £5-10 on literally, it was like crisps. It was like, oh, them like straw things that you, like crispy straws, like chocolate.
The Milky Way crispy rolls.
Like them, but like in a big tin. Probably easy, like 600 calories a tin.
I know what you mean. And it's got the chocolate in the middle.
And the chocolate in the middle?
Yeah, no, I know what you mean.
I'd get like two of them and like crisps and basically I called it a scran. That's such a scout word, that one. So a scran is like a basically food. It's a lot of food. You've got like a lot of food. And even back then, like you said there, counting calories, it never even existed back then.
It wasn't a thing.
No, and it's just crazy. I found it's only recently that, obviously in the past few years, that it's even become a thing.
Yeah, which I'll touch on soon, when I actually started losing weight, it was all about eating clean. And the concept of eating clean was basically, you know, no crisp, no fizzy drinks, no chocolate, no chippies, no pizza. It was just, to be honest, if you asked me now, I wouldn't know the definition of clean.
Everyone has their own little definition, like, what is eating clean?
Yeah, what is it?
If you ask five people, you get five different responses.
Because the thing is, some people would define avocado as clean, but it's really calorific. So if you look at the calories of it, would you say that was clean? Because you'd pile a ton of avocado on your plate thinking, oh, I'm eating clean. But that could contribute to a massive calorie surplus that you wouldn't even think about because of the fats in it. And don't get me wrong, the fats are good fats that, you know, are good for hormone regulation and brain function, but it's them things that you don't think about because it's clean. So when I first started losing weight, it was clean eating and it was all about clean foods and, you know, basically cutting out everything that we lived on.
Cutting out the good stuff.
Yeah, cutting out the fun. But yeah, it's funny that the times have changed now. A lot of people don't call it clean eating anymore. It comes under a lot of other names and titles and companies and businesses, but essentially all people are doing is, you know, eating better than what they would have previously. It's helping them lose weight and get healthier.
Like the method to the principle sort of thing, isn't it? The principle being more of a deficit.
Yeah. And it's developed over time. So now, when I first started losing weight, it wasn't associating food with numbers. Whereas now, I've got an association of a particular food with numbers, so I know my breakfast, like the breakfast I made this morning, which was fab, by the way.
The Greek yogurt?
Yeah.
Greek yogurt, so Greek yogurt.
Greek yogurt, whey protein, 100 grams of blueberries, peanut butter, and half of that grenade bar.
To be fair, that looked so good.
It was nice, but that was 564 calories. It had about 64 grams of protein in, which as a veggie, you know, it's a little bit tougher to hit your protein than it is for somebody who eats meat.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But yeah, like to look at that, you wouldn't look at that bowl because it had fruit in and everything like that and 0% fat Greek yogurt. You wouldn't look at that and go, that's 564 calories.
You just say it's clean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd think it was clean minus the protein bar, but you know, you'd largely say that that's a clean meal.
Yeah.
And then, you know, if you had that extra meal on top because you're like, oh, it's clean, it's all right, I'll eat it, that could be an additional 564 calories on your day that you don't even think about.
Yeah, that's very true.
And you know, it, don't get me wrong, it was a balanced meal. It had carbs, fat and protein in, you know, a really good balanced meal. I've started buying peanut butter because I struggle to hit my fats with good sources of fat. So I bought peanut butter, and of course that 20 grams of peanut butter, but it obviously increases the calories quite a lot because of the fat content.
It's like the avocado store, isn't it?
Yeah, it's exactly like that. Yeah. And people don't think peanut butter's clean.
No,
it's
yeah.
a funny, because you find it in Reese's.
Oh, Reese's.
Because you find it in Reese's. A lot of people, you know, it's like what you said, you know, some people think different things are clean and some people think
it's very subjective to people.
It is.
That's crazy. But even like the avocado store, like even today, people on Instagram will go to a cafe and if they get like an avocado on toast with eggs, overpriced, but probably about 15 quid, they take a picture and it's like, oh, clean it, you know, I don't know, health or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's in reality that avocado and eggs, obviously, yeah, both being high calories and full of nutrients as well, but at the same time, as much as you get today, you don't actually need, because people serving you the food, they don't look at the calories, they're not bothered.
Exactly, and if you were, for example, if you were a meat eater and you got a fry up, you know, you can ask them to not cook it in oil. So
I don't know.
You know, yeah, you can go to restaurants and ask for specific things, and you know, or ring them beforehand if you book a table. And 9 times out of 10, they will go out the way to accommodate for you. So you know, this is horrible for a veggie to talk about. Your sausages, your bacon, your eggs, your black pudding, and all that horrid mess.
Goodness.
All gets cooked in oil in a pan.
Yeah.
Whereas you know, if you swapped that oil, you'd be surprised at, you know, if you, like you said, like eggs and avocado on toast versus a typical fry up, the calories probably wouldn't be that much different. But you'd think the eggs and avocado,
yeah, that's a good point,
it's clean.
Yeah.
So it's quite a funny one, but that was a massive thing. In fact, no one counted calories when I started losing weight.
Yeah, because I was going to say it's only been the last few years. I mean, it's been, I think, well, in my opinion, since I've been in the fitness industry, the only real person who has brought counting calories to life is, in fact, James Smith.
Mm.
And it's such a, we literally learn this in PT school. We learn it's about calories in versus calories out. Everyone was sort of nodding their head and saying, yeah, okay. But no one even thought of addressing that seriously. So it's only since, I think, then that it's been the calorie deficit and calories in versus out has been a thing. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Well, thank God he has done that. Imagine what it'd be like. It'd be like if I was like, everyone was still like, oh, eating clean or dirty bulk or clean bulk, whatever. I hate that phrase, you know.
But that's the thing, as well. Now, it was simpler when I first started on my journey, because there was not as many terms, like you've just listed tons there that people use now, whereas now all of them are used, and I think sometimes that puts a lot of people off
because
they're confused, and you know, if you're confused, you're either too scared to take the leap, or you think you're going to be stupid by not understanding. So again, you know, your confusion or your lack of understanding of all these crazy terms in the gym and in the industry just stops you from, you know, jumping in and giving it a go.
Yeah, well, all this terminology, I mean, I'll grab a quick one off you in a bit in terms of what you think is perceived as some like terminology in dieting. But going back to the being overweight and things like that.
Mm.
So you're working in fast food chains and pretty much not a healthy, on the other end, like it's not quite a healthy relationship with food in terms of you're not bothered what goes in, it just goes in.
Yeah, so, and you don't think about it either, you just do it for convenience. So, you know, these fast food chains, well, when I used to work in them, you know, if people were waiting for a long time, oh, it's supposed to be fast food. No, it's a convenience food.
Yeah.
And that is largely what I was living off. And it started spiraling. Basically, I'd finish work and I'd be like, can't be bothered, so I'd go to KFC or I'd go to Domino's or I'd go to Mackey's, and at the time I ate meat, so obviously shout out to the meat eaters. I would eat anything off the menu, and I'd eat anything. Like, I literally loved going to Domino's and buying pizza, because who doesn't love pizza?
Oh my god, pizza.
And yeah, it just, you know, stress with work. I ended up off sick for a long time, which, again, you know, I was at home, I was eating, I wasn't exercising.
Yeah.
So it all developed into a really negative relationship with food, but on the other end of it. Yeah. So it's not the starvation and anorexia side, it's the overeating and overindulging and mass weight gain side.
Not finding that balance in between as well.
Yeah, so I didn't have the knowledge or even the mental attitude to find the right balance. I was off work for a few months, and then I started a new job. And again, the same cycle just carried on because it was a really intense job. There was food available there, so I could just buy that. Again, wasn't looking at the calories. I'd get a cake, I'd have hot chocolate. And you don't realise all these calories, obviously, are adding up. And when I started my new job, which is 4 years ago. Well, it's not my new job anymore. 4 years ago, it was. And at the time, I didn't feel like I looked overweight. I had a lot more confidence. I didn't look at myself and think that I was unhappy with my appearance. I was like, oh yeah, you know, there's nothing wrong with me, I look fine. And, you know, I got my photo took in work for a pass.
Oh, the one you've got now? Oh,
Christ, yeah. And I looked at the pass, and don't ask me why, because I'd looked at myself tens or hundreds of times before, and I was like, oh my God, is that what I look like? And that was it. And what I actually started with was I think it's called Detox for the British Heart Foundation. They do it, you know, a few times a year, and people can get themselves sponsored and raise money for the British Heart Foundation.
Yeah.
Fabulous cause. And I just stopped eating chocolate. And normally, you know, again, not understanding calories in versus calories out. If I was hungry, I was eating up the canteen, or I'd go downstairs and buy a bar of chocolate, and you don't think about it. Again, you know, I was going, because I was in the habit from previous jobs, I was getting takeaways at least 3 or 4 times a week.
Yeah.
I live right by a chippy.
You do, that's... Literally, you can throw a stone, you're going to hit it.
Yeah, and, you wow. know, you just... Because them habits were already formed through, you know, previous jobs and then not being well, they just stayed. They were ingrained then. So, you know, I was still eating really badly, despite cutting the chocolate out.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, I got this photo and I was like, oh my God, is that what I look like? And it absolutely broke my heart. And then around about the same time, someone else called me fat.
Oh, wow, really?
So I was like, right, okay, I'm going to prove you wrong now and I'm going to change my life.
Okay, also, okay, cool. So the person in question was your old boyfriend?
No, it was my mum.
It was your mum?
It was my mum.
Well, really? Yeah. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I was going to say, because we'll touch on like relationships in a bit. And
yeah, that's
coming.
That's a massive contribution as well.
Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, so my mum called me fat. I can't remember where I was going.
Wow.
But you know, when you go downstairs and you go, do I look okay in this? She went, well, I think you look a bit fat. And I was like,
whoa,
right, something's got to change. Wow. Yeah, and obviously I had the picture on my pass as well where I actually started doubting my confidence in the way I looked. I was in a relationship at the time, and I had been for, I don't even know how long, a significant amount of time anyway. So I was like, right, that's it. Like, I need to do something about this. You know, I was even struggling to walk up where I used to sit. Where I work was 2 flights of stairs.
True.
And I was gassed when I got to the top.
Yeah.
Like, gassed.
Wow.
I couldn't walk. I travel to other places as well to work, and I couldn't walk from the train station to the office, from the office to the station. Like, I had to stop. And I was like, no. How old was I? I was like, 24.
Wow.
And I was like, no, this isn't right.
At that point, like, what was the weight back then? What was the...
So when I decided to actually do something about it, because my mum had upset me and I told her that, she was like, right, we'll do it together. So we both weighed ourselves and we both stood on the scales and, you know, held each other's hands and we were going to do it together. And I was 16 stone.
Wow.
Which, until I look back now, you can't actually... put it into context, like what 16 stone looks like. I couldn't imagine what it looks like now if I had to guess, you know, the weight of somebody, because someone's weight isn't reflective of how they look.
No, and no one really goes, oh, like you look 16 stone.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
You just put a blanket term on it, and that term, unfortunately, is called fat. And
yeah, and
because I
didn't train as well.
Yeah.
You know, a large proportion of my body was fat.
Yeah.
So yeah, me and my mum jumped on the scales together. She was like, right, we'll do this together, you know, we'll go and buy. And again, I started with the clean eating because this is what it was at the time. I got in touch with a PT in Total Fitness, a boxing coach. Her name's Natalie. Shout out to Nat. and decided that was what I wanted to do to lose weight. I was petrified at the thought of going into a gym. Thought everyone was going to look at me. Everyone was going to judge me. Everyone was going to call me fat. So I was like, right, if I get a PT, that's that bit of protection,
yeah. You
know, from everybody else, because they focus on you for that time, and then you go and you forget about it. So I joined the gym. You didn't originally have to be a member when you had PT.
Yeah, so I think no.
Yeah, so I could just go in, but then I started really enjoying my sessions. I was getting more confident. We used to box in the Mind and Body Studio.
Oh, yeah.
Which, for anyone, obviously, who isn't from that gym or knows what Total Fitness is like, the Minds and Body Studio is a separate room.
Yeah, it's very enclosed and quiet and out the way.
Yeah.
So any person like with no confidence feels like they're like secure and no one's looking at them.
Yeah, and it's out the way from everything. So, you know, I'd trundle upstairs, do me session, and oh my God. I remember.
What was your first session and, like?
Oh my God, if Nat listens to this, she'd probably laugh right now.
we got to get her to listen to it.
Literally was doing about 20 seconds of straight punches on pads, and I was dizzy. I had to sit down, and I'd have to sit down for about a minute until the dizziness had gone, and then I'd get up and do it again. And I kept getting really dizzy when it come to training. I mean, I did never get it tested, but we've got a lot of heart problems in my family. Like, there's clearly a genetic link in my family to multiple different types of heart problems. So I now wonder, I probably did, if I had high blood pressure.
Yeah.
And I also was struggling a lot with other aspects of health as well. So I went and got blood tests and found out I was on the verge of being pre-diabetic.
Wow. Obviously, that's through, like, dietary choices, isn't it?
Yeah. All the foods I was choosing beforehand, you know, the really high fat, greasy foods, tons of sugar.
Can make a difference. Like it's linked with a lot of high consumption of fructose, and you can even develop what's called NAFLD, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease.
Yeah.
And even through that, you can develop type 2 diabetes too.
Yeah, and that, you know, was some of the reason for me staying, and I started to enjoy it. You know, me and that. Between us, stayed with Nat for quite a while. We started doing a bit of strength and conditioning as well, so your rope slams, your tyre slams and stuff like that, as well as starting to get a bit more agility to get the cardio in as well. And I lost a couple of stone with Nat in the first part of my journey, and then it was still all about clean eating. I won't actually lie. The only time I actually started counting calories, which again is a little bit in the future, was when I got my first coach, and that was like 18 months ago. About 18 months ago, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah,
That was the first ever time throughout this whole journey that I started counting calories.
Wow.
But then I threw me all into boxing, and I was really, really enjoying it. But then I just decided, you know, sometimes people do, they decide it's time for a change. So I got another PT. Again, in Total Fitness, and this was Sharon. And I did a lot of work with Sharon on weightlifting and getting confident in the gym. And, you know, the gym environment, the gym floor, lifting weights, being confident in lifting weights and not being afraid of people looking at you, what they're saying about you.
Yeah, because it's even to death, like, it's a big... I think that still stays with everyone a little bit in terms of confidence on the gym floor. Unless they're real experienced. But yeah, I think I remember seeing videos on Instagram, on Sharon's Instagram.
Yeah.
on the prowler and
push like 175 kilo on the
parlor. Insane. Insane. But yeah, getting a PT just sort of protected your confidence.
It was still that comfort blanket, yeah. Because even though I'd lost about, I think it might have been just over 2 stone at that, I still felt like I needed that comfort blanket. So yeah, I started training a lot of weights with Sharon. I was starting to get stronger and stronger. And then I just decided, I just literally dropped a bombshell on her one day that I wanted to start running. And she was like, oh, bloody hell. And something that I think has been part of my personality since I had the problems with an eating disorder when I was really young. One of the problems that I think is still present now, and is it is still in my mind, is an addictive personality.
Yeah.
So when I started running, it's all I did. And I literally ran and ran and ran and ran.
Was this when you were still like quite overweight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that has led to some uncool injuries.
So it's, what was it? It's the hip.
Yeah, so I've torn the cartilage in my hip, and the cartilage in my knee is on its way out.
So that itself can be like a con side, like a negative side of being overweight, because it's a lot of weight in your joints too, isn't it?
Well, yeah, so I've only just recently been diagnosed with the torn cartilage, and I've got arthritic changes in my hip as well. But basically, he said that because I was running, and as well, I also didn't have the right muscle stability, and the muscle development was poor.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was still on my journey. Basically, what I did was, you know, I just jumped on the treadmill and started running, and I got to about 5K, took me about 40 minutes or whatever. And then I literally just went, right, I'm going to enter the 10K. Don't ask me why, because there was a 5K option. I entered the 10.
Straight in, balls in.
And then literally, after I ran the 10, 2 weeks later, I'd booked in for the half. So the half marathon was 2 weeks later.
Wow.
So literally the day I ran the 10K, I booked on for the half marathon, and I trundled in and told Shannon, and she was like, bloody hell. Started a lot of conditioning work on my legs, because, you know, you've got to have, as you're aware, a lot of leg strength, leg power, yeah, and endurance to be able to take yourself that far. And then that's where it started. You know, I just carried on running and running and running. And again, like with the addictive personality thing, it was just basically what I did all the time. And, you know, with that and lifting weights, I did eventually injure myself, which has led me to where I am today.
Wow.
But yeah, I know. Old age.
You're not old.
I started losing weight. And, you know, so many people were complimenting me. So many people were saying how well I'd done, I should be so proud, blah, blah, blah. But I still wasn't happy. I just was so unhappy in the way I looked. And at this time, which actually falls in quite well with, I know that somebody's asked a question on it, my partner at the time, when I started my journey, you know, like I was saying, we were going and getting takeaways every night and just eating crap. Obviously, I went to, you know, making stir fries and trying to make healthier meals and stuff like that. Obviously, because calorie count wasn't really a thing, it was more clean eating. I was having like pesto pasta and everything like that. Again, a really high fat thing that you would associate with being healthy.
Pesto was amazing. The first time I read the calories on, I was like, no.
Exactly, and it's all the oils in it.
Devastated.
And you don't realise. So yeah, I was making all these meals and stuff like that, and basically, you know, he would finish work and he'd be like, oh, will you take me to KFC? Will you take me there? Or will you just run up the chippy? I'm on my way home.
And that for someone who's going through a, let's call it a diet or a weight change or a journey, that can be quite shitty.
And knowing obviously that all I did was eat them types of foods anyway, which had gotten me to the point where I was really unhealthy and really unhappy in myself.
Yeah.
This sounds dead bad. I just couldn't deal with that anymore. And I realised that in order to change me, I had to do this alone. And you know,
definitely, yeah,
that,
definitely.
That end of my relationship, I was engaged, I was about to get a house. you know, I was a good few years into this relationship, but it just made me realise that if I wanted to make this really big change to my life and to my health, you know, for me, for my family, for anyone around me, that I had to do this for me.
I think that's quite important, just to, again, just to go off on a tangent, about your environment and your, let's call it a circle. If your environment or your circle of, let's say, friends or relationships, say if that doesn't support what you're going through or what you do, then I find it quite detrimental to change that. So obviously you, in your circle, you had your ex-partner, and again, quite unsupportive. So the best thing to drive you forward was to just say, nope.
Yeah, and you know, I did. And that was a gutsy move as well, because he'd been there throughout the whole time when, you know, we were going for takeaways. I was eating so much unhealthy food. It's just actually quite scary, really. You know, he'd been through that whole thing with me. But when I decided that I needed to do this for me, I just didn't feel like the support was there. And, you know, the temptation of that type of food was sometimes throwing me off my diet, throwing me off plan. And then, you know, there was the emotional side of it. So I'd eat that food and then I'd be upset, which would then make me want to eat it more. And then, you know, it just turned into a vicious cycle. So I realised that I had to do this for me, and it was a massive step. And, you know, I ended the relationship, and again, with the addictive personality side of it, threw myself full pelt into a diet and exercise. And then, yeah, you know, running and everything like that, just put all my focus into running. And then eventually I kind of reached a bit of a plateau, and these...
So what is a plateau, just for those listening, in case they're not sure what one is?
I stopped making progress. So because of my weight at the time, when I started losing weight, you know, sometimes it just, the term fell off. Like, literally, I could stand on the scales and in a week I could lose like 3 or 4 pounds.
Yeah.
And I was made up. And then, you know, eventually that weight loss slowed down because, you know, this whole clean eating thing. And the lighter you get, the less calories you need. So I was like, right, you know, I'm reaching a plateau. And then I got stressed that I was reaching a plateau. So there was the emotional response. So I started binge eating again. And, you know, it's these types of things that they never leave you. I'm a firm believer of that. I think you only ever learn to live with them and to learn coping mechanisms to cope and control. I don't think they ever truly leave you. So yeah, I had quite a few relapses, one to the point, not one of my proudest moments, but you know, gotta love it. I ate a full jar of Nutella before I went to the gym for my PT session.
Full jar?
Yeah.
Jesus.
And I literally burst out crying.
Yeah,
I told Sharon, and I was like, something needs to change. So I made the decision to get a nutrition coach, and that was Chloe. The one thing that you'll notice throughout my journey up until now, well, no, sorry, up until the latter end of last year, I have always had some form of support.
It's an accountability.
I've not done it alone. It's been with the help of and guidance of someone else. So yeah, I got a nutrition coach, and her name was Chloe. And me and Chloe, we just clicked straight away. You know, and I told her my goal. I just wanted to keep losing weight, and I wanted to get more confidence in the gym. I wanted to, I just wanted to feel happy in myself, because the one thing that I realised when I ended my previous relationship was that I don't think I could ever be truly happy with somebody else until I was truly happy with myself.
That's and very
that
true.
Was yeah. That was a big driver. So I was single for a long time throughout my journey. And yeah, me and Chloe, we started working together. And that was when me and Chloe and me and Sharon, you know, we were all working together. That was when I started associating food with numbers.
Yeah, so I count calories and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. So Chloe made me aware of calories and macros, and, you know, that knowledge that she's obviously passed on to me has been invaluable, because up until then, I had never like worked with calories and macros and counting calories and knowing about a calorie deficit. I was so naive when it came to that. So yeah, I worked with Chloe for a year.
I mean, it's pretty impressive now, because I keep thinking, obviously in normal day-to-day life and conversations, like when, for example, when we make breakfast and you're like, oh, that's got 20 odd grams of protein, or it's got, like, you know, such and such carbs and so many calories, and I'm like, fucking hell. It's pretty cool. You're very versed up, and you wouldn't think that you used to not have any conceptualized calories or macros. It's quite impressive, to be fair.
Yeah, so literally working with Chloe in that sense, you know, how'd you say it? She basically gave my weight loss journey that edge that it needed.
Yeah, the boot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, me, her and Sharon, I did my training with Sharon, but I did my nutrition with Chloe. It just, again, the weight loss started happening, because I was in a plateau for, I'd say, about at least 6 to 8 months.
So what would your message be to, like, I mean, sorry to keep interrupting you, what would your message be to, like, to someone who is thinking that they're going through a plateau in the training or the diet? What would your message be to them? What would you, like, make them check or make them do?
I think just looking at your portion sizes, like, you know, you've got to...
Brilliant.
I think your portion sizes are critical, because, you know, for example, I had 20 grams of peanut butter in my breakfast this morning, and I'm sure when I logged it was like 120 calories.
Yeah.
Right, and that was about a teaspoon.
And
people will eat tablespoons of peanut butter.
Or they'll literally stack that teaspoon till they can't fit no more on, but they'll still go, oh, that's a teaspoon.
Yeah, and, you know, if for example, you're using a tablespoon, I don't know, you can fit, like, what, three or four teaspoons on a tablespoon?
Oh, yeah, you can fit like 30 grams, I think, on a tablespoon.
So that's, like, 500 calories that you don't even think about.
So calorie dense.
So, like, the one thing that I'd say for people in a plateau would be to think about your portion sizes. Like, are you actually eating a lot more food than you think you are? Or you think, you know, if you're one of the individuals that doesn't track calories, you think, oh, it's fine, it's healthy. You know, a stir fry, if you've got veg, a protein sauce and noodles in it.
Even oils and things
oils,
like that.
Oils, sauces, all them things add up. So, you know, the noodles can be quite calorific as well. So I'd always say check your portion sizes, because that's where I was going wrong. You know, I was like, oh, it's clean. Because at the time, I didn't count calories. So it's clean, it's a clean food, it's fine. I can have this avocado, I can have these nuts. And you just don't realise until you start looking into your calories. And Chloe really made me realise that when she gave me my calories and macros and meal ideas and stuff like that, that when I actually put them calories into meals, it wasn't as much as what I thought it was. So I had to change my diet completely to include, you know, lower calorie foods, salad, a lot more veg, so that you're getting, like, it's not value for money, but you know what I mean, value for calories.
Okay, of course,
So you're getting more food for your calories. So yeah, I worked with Chloe for about a year, and I started with her in July of 2018. And I still had a couple of stone that I wanted to lose. I was determined that when I got to a particular weight, I was going to be happy.
I don't think everyone ever is, are they?
No. So I was like, right, when I get to this weight, I'm going to be made up. And I had a particular number in my head. Chloe knew that. I knew that. And
what was that number?
It was to get down. At first, it was to get down to 10 stone.
Yeah.
And then I got down to 10 stone. And then I was like, right, I want more.
That's just humans, isn't it?
So, yeah. I was like, right, I want to get down to 9 stone. And we hit 9 stone.
And then
my goal was then to lose as much weight as I physically could before the races, which was April last year.
Why?
So I literally dieted as much as I could during that time. And I basically hit what I believed to have been the ultimate goal of losing 7.5 stone, which we worked out before this was 104 pounds.
Pretty impressive. But
I wasn't happy.
Yeah.
Naturally, you know, you either want more, you want something else. So I said to Chloe, like, I've hit my goal now. I want something else. I didn't want to maintain that. I wanted to work for something else because, again, it's this addictive personality in me that I always have to be working towards something, or I feel like there's no value in what I'm doing. So we decided that it was going to be a good time to start, you know, training hard, a lot more resistance to start building muscle.
Yeah.
So my calories and everything started going up, and I started struggling because naturally I was gaining weight.
Yeah.
And that, you know, sent me on a whole different spiral again because I was sad that I was gaining weight. I'd binge, which would make me sad, so I'd binge.
It's like that never-ending loop, isn't it?
Yeah.
Loop from hell.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the other end of the eating disorder that was coming out again. And then, you know, I started getting control of it again and was like, right, me and you booked a holiday.
Was it Paris?
No, this was when we booked for Mexico.
Oh, Mexico, yeah.
Yeah, because I started increasing my calories after Paris.
That's right, yeah, that's right.
So we booked a holiday and I was like, right, Chloe, this is it. I need to start dieting. And I had, you know, I'd gained a bit more weight than I probably should have. And my calories went gradually and gradually down again. My carbs went gradually down and down again. And it was tough. But the thing is, you were going through a diet with me at the same time.
Yeah.
Which made it easier.
Yeah. And again, it's that environment and someone to support as well. It's a lot more helpful, isn't it?
Yeah. And, you know, even though I'd reached that initial goal of losing the weight that I did, when I started dieting again, I didn't want to be as small as I was. I just wanted to get in shape. I just wanted to look in shape.
Essentially.
Healthy, yeah. So my calories got cut. The diet was quite intense. Your diet was quite intense. Yeah. You know, our relationship was tested from.
No, it wasn't. I think we need to grow on that because, like, for anyone listening now who's, again, I can describe it, like, it's like bodybuilding behavior, isn't it?
Yeah.
So it's like when we were both cutting down for our lowest weight, and we were cutting down. Your relationship suffers, and you know you can't go out for a meal. You can't enjoy food, and food's meant to be, you know, enjoyed and obviously in control. But we didn't have that. We got stripped of that.
Mm.
Obviously, it's
a lot of social events are around food now.
Of course,
well.
Yeah. Like again.
I was talking to a friend about this the other day, that so many social events now are around food and drink.
Of course.
And you know, because like you said, we had that taken from us. We didn't go out.
Yeah, like I remember going up to was it Chiquito's?
Yeah.
In Southport.
Yeah, and that took me God knows how long to convince you to actually go out.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, talking with me, I've got a, you know, like, you know, when I stick at something, I'm pretty, I'd say pretty anal on it.
I was just about to say that.
I feel quite weird saying the word anal on a podcast. No, but yeah, it's like in my mind, like having that meal was destructive, and I'd gain all the weight back, and I'd ruin my progress.
You were dead set against that.
Yeah, it's only until you look back and you're outside that bubble, and you realise that, you know, food isn't meant to be restricted. If it's restricted, then it's an unhealthy relationship with food. In my opinion, that's what it is. But back then, it was like we couldn't go out, we couldn't enjoy ourselves. We were tired as well, man.
Yeah, we'd sleep instead of like, because we were that hungry, we'd just go to sleep.
Yeah.
And, you know, we dieted right the way down to Mexico. And then, you know, you and me both made the decision.
Yeah.
As great as the progress was that we made with Chloe, we both decided that, again, it was time for a change. And, you know, for me, this was the first ever time. So that was from September of last year, was the first ever time I decided to go it on my own.
Yeah, it was a few months. What, how many months did you go on your own for?
September, October, November, December. So four. Didn't last months, very long. Yeah.
No, but 4 months, again, with no accountability and no sort of someone's overseeing your fitness and your training. How did that feel compared to obviously having a coach?
Do you know what, right? And I would never, ever judge anyone for saying this either. I felt lost.
No, yeah, definitely.
Because my whole journey had been with the help, the guidance, the assistance of PTs and coaches. I was just like, whoa. And, you know, I wasn't really that knowledgeable to put my own training plan together, or I was using plans and programs that have been given to me before and trying to make it work. My training was a bit all muddled up, and I don't know, I just, you noticed it as well, like I got a bit lost and I didn't know.
It's just direction, and when you're only thing that, you know, you set your heart to do, when you're lost in that, it's like you do genuinely feel lost in everything.
Yeah, like I didn't have a goal, I didn't have a purpose.
No direction.
No, I didn't, and you know, losing the weight that I did, it took me a long time. But then, you know, three years, I think it was altogether. But then after that, it's like, well, what do you do now? That was it. It was a long time in my life. It wasn't, you know, people could lose the weight I lost in 8 months, 7 months. You know, people could lose that weight in a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
But that took me 3 years, and that was a long part of my life.
Yeah, no, it was. Yeah, definitely.
And then now I was like, well, what do you do?
Yeah, like what now?
And it wasn't until, it was a friend that I met via Chloe. Shout out to Jazz if she's listening.
Jasmine.
and that she had said that she had gotten this coach. Now this is a shout out to my current coach.
Yes, Vicky. Titan.
Chris is copying me again. Yeah. The same coach, Jasmine, again. So every time I get a coach, right, he gets the same coach. And I just don't think he's got any individuality. But we'll forget that bit for now. Jazz. Jazz basically recommended Vicky to me, and you know, I looked on her profile, and I was like, right, okay. So we're seeing that she helped coach people with injuries, with eating disorders, you know, with no direction, and some of the progress photos were awesome. And to be fair, she's awesome. She is a strong woman. And I was like, I want to get strong. So I decided that I wanted to get stronger. Because naturally, being in a deficit for so long, I was wiped out. My strength had gone as well. You know, some of the weights that I used to be able to lift when I was heavier, I couldn't lift anymore.
And I know that is...
It gets to you.
Mind-wrecking.
It gets to you.
Destroys your soul.
It literally did. So I gave Vicky a message and we had a phone call, and the rest is history. I signed up with Vicky originally just as a Gen Pop client. I just wanted to get stronger, improve my overall fitness, look a bit better, feel a bit better, work on my relationships with food, and yeah, that
just
was it.
Just be healthy as well, yeah.
Yeah, and then, again, the spiral started. I started getting stressed only very recently. Things were ticking along well, you know. I was getting used to being a couple of stone heavier than my original weight loss back in April. I was getting used to that. I was getting used to lifting heavier weights. I was enjoying lifting heavier weights. And then I started spiralling again. When I was stressed, I was starting to binge. I was eating in secret.
Mindless eating as well.
Yes. mindless eating. So
what is mindless eating?
I was literally when I was stressed, I laugh about it. But I would get home and I'd be like, right, I'll get changed and go to the gym. But I'll have something to eat before I go to the gym, pre-workout, to get a bit of energy before I train. So I'd make that meal and then I'd be dead stressed. The day had just been horrible. And then I'd pick something else out the cupboard and eat it. And then I'd pick something else out the cupboard and eat it.
Yeah.
And then I'd pick something else out the cupboard and eat it. And then before I knew it, I'd have like 4 or 5 different packets out. I'd have ate a ton of chocolate, crisp. And I was like, what the hell am I doing? And again, it comes to that point of, I wasn't paying attention as to what calories were in the food I was eating. I was just eating
it's
it.
It's just going down, yeah.
Yeah, so you like know.
Switched off.
Yeah. Well. Surplus level 10,000. Literally was just mindlessly eating. And I was just so stressed out. And I just started getting lost in the gym because I felt like I had no direction. So I spoke to Vicky and I was like, listen, I need a goal. And she was like, right, what is it we can do? We can do this. What is it that you really, really, really want to focus on? And I was like, right, you're probably going to think I'm a bit of a dick here, but I want to be a bit of everything. And she was like, okay, so aesthetic, strength, endurance, like good cardio fitness, good functional fitness. I was like, exactly that. I want to walk up to a weight that people would think, nah, she can't lift that. And then I just walk up, lift it, and feel like a boss girl.
Boss.
And then I'd want to look good. But then I also want that cardio as well, which I know, you know, when you focus a lot on strength and stuff like that, as you're doing at the minute, you don't focus on cardio.
No.
So I wanted still that good level of functional fitness.
Yeah, athleticism as well.
Yeah.
Mm.
And it was when Vicky recommended to me something called The Ultimate Athlete.
That sounds awesome. sounds awesome. What? Describe what that is, because that sounds like the ultimate title.
So, it's a strength, functional fitness, if you will, and an aesthetics section. The show is in 3 sections. You compete against other people. Your strength section is 4 lifts. So, it's your squat, bench, deads, your SBD, but also a military press. So, there's a 4th lift. The second part is like your functional fitness bit, which is probably by far the bit that's going to make me cry. it's a 200 rep round split between, I don't know, burpees, box jumps, pull-ups, dips, and whatever else they just feel like throwing at you at the time. And then the last part is you get your glitz and glam on, you get your tan on, you get your hair done, your makeup done, but it's not like bodybuilding competing. You know, you wear, for girls, you know, it's a crop top and a pair of shorts, and you don't have to wear heels, and you do a little bit of basic posing, and yeah, it's just all 3 elements combined together. You get points, it's scored on a points basis, and then obviously, I don't know if they scored it the highest or the lowest points, I haven't got that far yet, but you know, based on whatever the way they work the points out, you win. And I just was like, yeah, that's what I want to do.
That's like, that seemed perfect for you. To be fair, I didn't even know that existed, admit it. Like, I didn't even know.
I didn't until Vicky mentioned it. You know, you always think powerlifting or bodybuilding.
Put them together.
Yeah, and it's literally throw your hands together, and that is what this show is. And I just decided that was it, and that was what I was going to go for.
Mm.
It really is in my favour that Vicky actually won it.
Yeah.
So it really, really helps having a coach that understands, you know, what it is that I need to do to get there. And now that I'm looking at it, I've found direction in my training again. I've found I'm getting a better relationship with food. I've even started journaling, because I'm determined to crack down on the emotional response
Who do you think can benefit from journaling?
Do you know what? Everyone.
I agree.
Because I'm not only doing it about food, but I'm doing it about my day. Mm. So I'm looking back at my day and I'm looking back at what I've done, what I've achieved, what's happened that's maybe triggered the stress and the behaviour, which has then triggered the really bad food. And Vicky's asked me to focus on why, because that is obviously a really big thing. Why was it that activity that happened in the day that made me react? I'm journaling at the minute, and my training's been changed up, and I've got a purpose and a direction again, and it's made me determined to beat these little demons that keep popping up. And you know what? They're probably going to pop up. I've given myself 18 months to prep for this, so, you know, we both decided, Vicky and me, that this year, you know, would be a little bit out of my reach, and the longer that I've got to prep for it, the better package I'll bring. You know, I'll be stronger, my aesthetics will be there, my confidence will be there, and I'll be in control of my food and my emotions. And I think having all that time to work on that,
it's perfect.
It's perfect. Absolutely. I realise I've just whittled on for like an hour and 5 minutes.
Bloody hell, yeah. A whole 65 minutes.
If you're still listening, by the way, shout out. Well done.
Do you know what? I find, again, depending on the content of the podcast, it can be gripping for 2 hours. Like, I've listened to the 2 hour podcast before, and again, it's been like, you want a bit more.
Well, if anyone is still listening to my voice after this, honestly, hats off. But it's nice to have direction now. And, you know, you're working on your powerlifting. And have you told people when you're...
No. I have not. It's a bit of a... Yeah, I don't really mind, I don't know. But so, for those who don't know, I'm currently training to do my first ever powerlifting competition in April. I think it's the 26th. Don't quote me on that. But
it sounds about right.
Sounds about right. But yeah, that's powerlifting, and you're doing the ultimate athlete. So.
And I think it's good that we've both got... So, for example, you know, you can help me with my lift now.
Yeah, like I can help you squat and bench.
We can train together.
I think that's so important as well. You know, like having someone not only in the same journey, but like living the lifestyle with you as well. It is very important. It's crucial as well. I mean, I couldn't imagine, like, if one of us wasn't training at all and wasn't into that sort of lifestyle. I think that attracts people together.
I don't think we'd be together.
Do you what? We wouldn't. Because I've told a few people, like, how we actually... For those who are listening, by the way, if you don't know already, like, we are in a relationship.
No.
No. But how we actually first met was quite interesting. It was actually in the gym. And it was over leg day.
It was
over leg day. So... When my life took a hilarious turn, when I moved out of a house I moved into with my ex-partner, I actually messaged Kaylee to ask if she was training legs, or ask if she was training.
You asked what I was training.
What are you training? And I said it was leg day. So I said, right, okay, I'm coming. I've got some gossip, so I'll train with you. And you know what?
It was the best.
It was the best leg
had.
Sesh. I had, I know why, I probably ever. That was brilliant. But yeah, that pretty much stemmed from there. So if we went into the gym,
it wouldn't have happened.
We wouldn't have been talking now.
But, you know, it's even things like the difference in having a supportive partner. So
yeah,
when I've struggled with food and when I've struggled with parts of disordered eating, I've been able to go to you and you've not judged me. And I've been able to get help from you, and you've helped take my mind off it. And, you know, the support is just, it's amazing. And I think everyone deserves a partner that's supportive.
Yeah. It's like whose partner either isn't supportive or is being somewhat sabotaging towards either you or someone else. I think it's quite important to realise that and to get yourself like prepared for, again, just to say to your other partner or your other half, like, listen, I'm going through this, either be supportive or like there's the door sort of thing. Like that, in my opinion, I think that should be a massively considered. because it just helps so much that the other person is supportive.
I think for people who are in, you know, longer term relationships or are married and have got kids, I think it's harder to be that.
No, definitely.
To be that blunt.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, for people in the types of relationship, you know, where you've got no financial commitments or, you know, small children commitments.
Small humans.
I think it's easier to have them types of conversations. But, you know, for people who are in longer term relationships, it is harder to make them ultimatums. But I think, you know, having them conversations and just asking for the support and, you know, making your partner aware that you are doing this and, you know, you're doing this for you.
And that you need their support.
Yeah, and it would be so great if you had their support. Like, you know, me and you, I don't eat meat, you eat meat. But we still manage to make it work.
I eat vegetarian food, by the way.
He does.
Like, not to brag there.
He has just had a vegetarian sausage casserole, by the way.
I am not a vegetarian.
And he loved it.
It was actually all right.
But, you know, I think, obviously, it sounds bad because what I'm about to say is I'm not going to be as flexible because I won't eat meat.
Well, no, I would never expect you to do that.
But you're flexible for me.
Yeah.
You know, if there's days where you really want a steak, we'll still have, you know, like we made, what did we make the other day? It was stir fry, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And I had my veggie stir fry and you had the giant ass steak.
Oh, yes.
The biggest.
Marks and Spencer's, by the way. Steak, £10 steak.
The biggest steak in the world.
It's like 500 grams. Yeah.
It was huge.
It was huge.
But you had that.
Yeah.
And I just had my stir fry. So you cooked your veg and noodles and I just cooked my full stir fry.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, there's always points of compromise. And like when I go to yours, I'll always bring veggie food with me because I know all of your family eat meat.
Yeah.
So it's making sure, you know, that yous are willing to work together to make it work.
Yeah, that's quite important.
When we go out, so long as there's a vegetarian option on the menu, we can go anywhere.
Yeah.
And the only time I struggled was Paris. But pretty much every place we've ever been, there's been vegetarian options. That
Mexico was quite tough, wasn't it?
Mexico was hard because, Mexico, I don't know if it's just there or if this is other places as well, but they consider people who eat fish vegetarians.
Oh, that's annoying. So I get annoyed for you.
So vegetarians are people that don't eat meat, and that includes fish. Pescatarians are individuals who eat fish only and don't eat meat. Vegans don't eat any animal byproducts, and that includes honey, chocolate, eggs, cheese. But yeah, Mexico was hard, but you know, it was tough. I'd flew 11 hours to get there, so I was staying. But yeah, that was tough. But aside from that, everywhere we've ever been out to eat, you know, we've been able to make it work, haven't we? And when we went to Paris, Chris seen a place that they cured the meat in the walls, and it was glass. And you could see all the fat on the meat and it was vile. But he really wanted to go there. And even though looking at it made me feel sick, I was like, okay. And I just asked if I could sit facing away from the meat. We make it work.
We do. And can I just say, applications to be Kaylee's boyfriend are now closed. So please do not send your applications in, thank you.
Not that anyone probably was going to anyway, but you know.
No, but you know what? I feel like, again, that the message of compromising there is not to on the serious side, like, but it's pretty important.
Even from friends as well,
even friends, because it's, you know what? It's even when, like, social occasions, like, you go out and, you know, you sit down and you order a meal and say if you are dieting, say if you want to cut calories back, but your friends don't. And you're sitting there with, I don't know, a salad. Let's say a salad and some chicken or, like, again, I don't know, fish or corn stuff, products, whatever. But if you're sitting there with a salad, like, one of your friends, quote-unquote friends, are very quick to turn around and be like, oh, someone's on a diet or, you know,
just eat the burger.
Just eat the burger. Like, come on, like, pressure them into it. And this, again, can be quite destructive towards individual in terms of, again, it's not being very supportive. So if you do go out with friends, and if you're not someone who's into fitness or into dieting, then just be careful what you say to whoever is getting the salad, because I'm not sure that they want to be there either, but they're getting a salad. So I think supporting them is quite important there.
Mm. Because, for example, you know, some people, like, you can still go out, but you've got weight to make.
Yeah.
So as it comes closer to your show, you're going to have to maybe make them choices where you're going to have to swap things, where you'd normally have chips, you'd have a salad, so that you can still have that balance, but concentrate on making weight. And, you know, people could be into a really specific fitness goal, which means they've got to make weight, but they still want to have that social life, to have that balance, to, you know, not contribute to any disordered eating or anything like that. So I think it's important as well to just be mindful of stuff like that, that it might not just be, oh, you'd only go in the gym. It could be for an important reason.
No, yeah, I agree with that. But in terms with the likes of, like, rewind back to the likes of the eating disorders, like the anorexia and, you know, the being overweight and things like that. And what would your message be for someone who's going through any type of eating disorder, whether this is anorexia, whether it is, you know, obesity, being, you know, bulimic? What would your message be for someone going through this? Sorry to put you on the spot.
Was not expecting that.
Boom.
Talk to people.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing worse than feeling like you're going through it alone. When you feel like you've got no support, there's nothing tougher than coming and fighting this battle. You know, when you close the bedroom door of a night, there's nothing worse than fighting that battle alone. Talk to anyone, be it, you know, a friend or, you know, anybody that even listens to this that's going through something. I would always listen to anybody, because I've been through it myself and I know what it's like. And I'd also say as well, you know, if you wanted to get the help of a professional, that there's nothing wrong with that. You know, me and Vicky at the minute are working on me having a better relationship with food because of the abusive relationship that I've had with food in the past. That's something we're working on. And, you know, there's a lot of coaches out there, a lot of really good coaches that can help with that. So I think, you know, there's nothing wrong with having a coach. And again, what I'd say would be the most important is talking.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And even, I mean, there's even coaches out there who, I mean, I know a few coaches who actually have eating disorders. And, you know, even coaches have coaches. So anyone at all, if you're needing that little bit of accountability, you know, a coach is for everyone, in my opinion. Whoever's going through a journey or whoever needs that support, then absolutely. So I've got, again, before we start closing up, otherwise I'd talk all night. I mean, I think we'll have to all die. But I've pulled across some Q&As from social media, so we're going to have one question each. Okay. Is that right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, God. Okay. Oh, God. So, do you want to go first?
Yeah.
Ladies first. Okay, so I'm not going to say the names, obviously, but I'll say the question in mind. So, this was from an Instagram Q&A. I struggle with meals as I want to eat healthy, and he refuses to make life hard cooking for two. So, I'm guessing that's he, as in her partner.
Partner.
So, he refuses to eat healthy, and she wants to. So, what would your message for her be?
I've touched on it anyway, like, throughout. But I think sitting down and having that conversation and explaining to your partner that this is something you want to do, and if they love you and they want to see you succeed and they want to see you happy, that the support, it needs to be there. You know, like, the way me and you work off cooking, we'll cook most of the dish together.
Yeah.
And then we'll split it and you'll add meat and I'll add...
It's compromise, isn't it?
Yeah, I'll add a meat substitute. It's introducing a healthy compromise to your diet. And it's quite ironic, really, because I'm studying for a qualification at the minute. And one of the things was on compromise today.
Wow.
And how to basically... that a compromise is a win-win situation because both people have to sacrifice something, but at the same time, both people gain.
Yeah, no, yeah.
And it's, you know, I think in that sense, it's important that, you know, you can't expect one person to sacrifice everything. So you just don't expect me to eat meat, but I don't expect you to become vegetarian.
Yeah.
So we have them meals where we'll try and cook as much as we can together, and also knowing that you're on more calories than I am,
yeah,
you've got more carbs than I've got. So if we buy things together, you'll largely have more noodles and I'll have more veg.
Yeah.
So we make it work between us. And I think, you know, you've got to make sure and have that conversation that your partner's willing to do that. Again, like I said before, you know, when that was the case for me, I was in a position to walk away and focus on me. But if you're not in that position, then I think it's just going to be...
I'm going to sit down, chat.
A sit down, yeah. It might be a longer battle to have to reach that compromise. But I'd say, you know, never give up and do this for you. And, like, for example, we've just had that sausage casserole. You had
that
more.
That was nice.
You had more of it than I did.
I'm stuffed, though.
And he's full. And it was healthy. He doesn't know what to do with himself.
Health.
So, I think, like, you know, it can work. And like I was saying before, portion control is a massive thing. So if you were to eat the same meal, you know, if you were on, it, you know, if you need less food than your partner, have a smaller portion. But still enjoy your meals together and don't let anything get in the way of spending time together.
Absolutely, yeah.
Probably went off on a bit of a tangent, table.
No, that was brilliant answer, to be fair. Brilliant. I'm going to do two more questions. I'll have one and then you can have another one as well.
Okay.
So I've got one, again, pulled from the Instagram Q&A. It was, what is the best diet or exercise for PCOS? So those who don't know, PCOS stands for polycystic ovary syndrome, and it affects quite a large portion of females. I'm not quite sure on the percentage or the amount in out of 10 it does, but it's where there's a natural hormone imbalance, so they produce more male hormones, and this actually can make female weight loss a lot harder than you think. My advice to you would be, there's no sort of best exercise for that. But me and Dave McKenna did touch on a podcast, and he actually found that it was long endurance training. So the likes of, I don't know, a treadmill run, or like, let's say 10K. The likes of a long, slow duration training can actually be quite, have a negative impact towards PCOS. So in terms of your training, I wouldn't focus it too much around, you know, it's called LSD in fitness special terms. So it's long, slow, or long, steady distance. It's not a drug. So, yeah, I wouldn't so much focus towards your exercise. I'd focus towards your calories too. And to also invest in a supplement called, is it Inositol?
Yes.
Inositol, recently found by Mark McDonald to actually really help with symptoms of PCOS. So in terms of that, lower your calories slightly more, because I've had a client before with PCOS, and when we worked together and lowered her calories down a bit more, so I'd seen a really positive shift. And yeah, in terms of training as well, just keep it quick. You can keep it intense and don't keep it so endurance based, I'd say is the one for that. But yeah, fair play for anyone who is going through PCOS with weight loss, because from what I've gathered, being a male, it's, you know, experiencing other females having this, it does seem quite hard. So if you are going through PCOS, again, do reach out to a coach or, again, to me or to anyone with it, just to see how we or they can help you. Sweet. So, one more question. Okay. Pick it.
What do I have to pick between?
Just any one we haven't done.
For me?
Yeah.
I think I'll use the binge eating disorder one. How to recognise signs that you might have a binge eating disorder.
Perfect.
Because I think this podcast has largely been based on how to deal with eating disorders and how I've personally dealt with them.
So perfect question. So how would you recognise the signs for it that you might have it?
So to me, recognising the signs for the binge eating disorder that I've been dealing with lately is that there's a trigger to it. So you have good days and you have them days where there's a trigger. And I think when there's a trigger, that's when you can actually say, right, what you need to sit down and think, what is it that's causing it? And why, which is what Vicky's getting me to work on at the minute. Yeah,
some journaling as well.
Yeah, the journaling's been helping me so, so much because I'm able to look back and reflect on the day and, you know, what it was, what was that pinnacle moment in the day that made me stressed, made me upset, made me angry. And, you know, that emotion made me turn to food. I think any eating disorder does have in part or completely food and emotion.
Yeah, it's like food and mood, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, any negative relationship with food and emotion can contribute to what I think would be a binge eating disorder. So I know, you know, when I've been stressed in work, that's upset me and I've been stressed and that's what's turned me to food, to cope. But the thing is, you just put on a plaster over the problem. So what, again, I've been journaling, but as well, you know, what I'd try and work on is coping with the trigger. So if it's stress, if it's anger, if it's upset, you know, if it's another emotion that you're going through, try and work on coping and dealing with that behaviour, be it, you know, improving your resilience. There's tons of free online stuff to do with resilience. Be it confidence, I don't even know what else. I don't know, anger, you know. Be it anger management online. There's tons of online free courses that can help you cope and deal with and recognize them behaviors. And I think when you can do that, you can learn then what is triggering the emotion in you, which is then leading you to turn to food. It's a hard one to come to terms with, I think, as well,
to admit it as well,
yeah,
because many people wouldn't want to deconsider it as weak.
Well, yeah,
yeah.
And you know, it's took us, Chris has wanted to get me on a podcast for
it's
ages.
Took me 20 episodes, well, 21 episodes, 21 episodes to get you on.
But yeah, it's, you know, it's a hard one to come to terms with because I've been at both ends of the spectrum. I would say I'm floating somewhere in the middle now. You know, some days I have good days, some days I have bad days, and some days that is not eating much at all, and some days that is the total opposite in binging. So yeah, it's hard even for me, and I've been living with it for what we worked out before, like over 15 years.
And it's like you said, it never sort of goes away. It's always a part of it, but you just cope better.
Yeah, I was talking to someone before in the gym about it, and we both said the same thing. This individual suffers a bit with disordered eating as well. We both said it never goes away. You just learn to deal with it.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, you'll become a stronger person when you can learn to deal with it and the success rate of you dealing with it outweighs the non-success. So, you know, if 90% of the time you can deal with the stress, the upset, the anger, but that 10% you don't, that's okay.
Yeah.
And absolutely. You should never beat yourself up if, because I did, you know, I said to Vicky, oh my God, like there was 2 days and I just let the emotion and the stress get to me. And she was like, stop it. This is okay. This is life. And I think that's like an important message to, you know, to say to people is you can try all you want to try and stop it completely. But as long as you can control it most of the time, that's okay.
Yeah.
And if you can't, then there's help out there. There's people to talk to. And, you know, I'd recommend doing that to try and help cope and deal with it yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And even with the journaling, I mean, that for you has been really, really helpful. And even, do you know what? I've even started a journal.
Because he's copied again.
Yeah. So for those who are interested in journaling, I will leave a link in the show notes of one I'm currently using at the moment. It's about £15 from Amazon. I'll leave it in the show notes. But that's an hour and 30 minutes.
My God.
That's boss.
If anyone's still listening, by the way, congratulations.
Congratulations.
You win.
So, again, this has been a brilliant podcast, to be fair. It's been the best one recorded. Like, even I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed recording it, and I've enjoyed talking about it as well.
And it's not just because, like, you know, he likes me.
It's not biased, by the way. But let's just, again, I really, really appreciate you from, you know, a mental toughness point of view to actually talk about it, because, again, it's quite reflective, so I really do appreciate that. And again, I'm sure that whoever's listening to this now appreciates it too. So thank you very much for speaking for 90 minutes.
I know.
And guys, thank you as well for listening to this podcast. And again, this is becoming, thankfully, a bit more listened to. And whoever can share it, and to, again, let anyone else know that, you know, it'll help them. If you think that anyone else can benefit from the podcast, then put it on your story, tag me in it, and again, I'll repost it and give you a little bit of a thank you. But if you think anyone at all can benefit from this podcast, then please, please, please do share it. This helps me do more. This helps me get motivated to do more. And most importantly, gives me topics and feedback as well from it. So thank you very much for listening. And I will see you in number 22. Say bye.
Bye.
Bye.